very happy to be joined by the head scout. Is that correct, Ross McLean? The head scout for ISS?
Indeed it is.
Wow. I knew you were a big wheel. I didn't realize the wheel was quite that big. I'd have been a lot nicer to you if I'd have known that that was the case. Ross McLean from the International Scouting Service joins us here on Sports at 960 The Fan. Thanks for doing this morning. Appreciate you getting up. And Adam, we're getting, as you can imagine, here in Calgary, as you know, three first-round picks for the Calgary Flames. A lot of emphasis on the draft. We find out now it's going to be 6th overall, 22nd overall, and we await to see what it's going to be with the Pittsburgh Penguins. But we'll be doing a lot of homework and looking at your body of work. It came out earlier this week, and Nathan MacKinnon sits atop your draft rankings. That, and I know that it's not about comparables, but people will look and see that in this NHL Central Scouting, it's Seth Jones. I guess, what is it specifically about Nathan MacKinnon that has him ahead of Seth Jones by one spot, and did this did his play at the Memorial Cup have an impact on this final ranking?
No, I mean, we've been actually in line with Central Scouting on Seth Jones being number one for the majority of the season, and it was right up to the end of the Memorial Cup there that we decided that, okay, you know what, we need to make a change. It was after the final game. We had talked about, we said that we wouldn't make a change on Saturday. And then the game on Sunday, the Memorial Cup final, we watched MacKinnon, and we just thought that we saw another level to his game that we didn't believe was there before. And it created the conversation among our top guys that, hey, maybe we need to make this switch back. And it wasn't an argument, it wasn't a debate. Everyone was very excited, and so we felt that, yeah, this is the right move to make.
Yeah, because it is one of those things where, you know, should 9 days move the needle? But at the same time, wouldn't you feel like you're kind of, you want to see these players in the biggest stage possible, and then when you perform like he did, you'd almost feel like you're not doing, you're doing him a disservice by not paying attention to how tremendous he was.
Exactly, especially when he was up and compared to Seth Jones in the exact same situation. So, you know, it was a very unique situation that really doesn't happen. And so it was a really good indicator, we believe, of, you know, what he's capable of. You know, and in the conversation, we mentioned, you know, Ivan Hlinka, gold medal game. Nathan MacKinnon had a hat trick in that as well, and really paced Canada to win the gold medal in that event. So, I mean, this is a kid that... Being from Nova Scotia myself, I've watched this kid for a long time. I've seen him. The first time I saw him, he was 13 years old. And for him to be showing us new levels to his game at this point is really an impressive quality. So that's really what factored into that decision to push him up there. And hats off to the kid because, you know, like you said, when all the cards are on the table, he was spectacular. So when you have a kid that can do that, that's the kind of thing that projects really well at the next level. It speaks to their passion. It speaks to, you know, why they're in the sport. They want to win. And when you have a kid that wants to win that bad and can really up his game and show you something he's never shown you before, even after watching him for 5 years, that is something that really appeals to me as someone who's trying to project someone at the next level.
Well, you talk about projection, and we talk about comparables too, and how do you separate Nathan MacKinnon? Is he, you know, in that number one mold? Is he, you know, Taylor Hall or Ryan Nugent-Hopkins or Nail Yakubov, or is he Crosby, a guy on that next level?
I think he's John Tavares, maybe, is a good comparable for him. So, you know, maybe right in between those two levels, I believe. I think he projects well to be kind of a, we were talking, we always try and compare these players or give people an idea of, you know, what kind of players this guy could be. I think he's a really nice cross between a John Tavares and a Jeremy Roenick. So, you know, that's kind of how you can get excited about a kid like this as he does enter this draft and starts to develop even more and will start his professional career very shortly.
It's been interesting to watch. We're chatting with Ross McLean, head scout for the International Scouting Services here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. As this year went along, it was the top three. You had Jonathan Drouin and Nathan MacKinnon from the Halifax Moosehead, Seth Jones in Portland. And then it seemed like Alexander Barkov became part of that conversation, 6'3", the young kid playing in the Finnish Elite League and playing among men and excelling among men. Valeri Nichushkin was also a guy, 6'4", 200-plus pounds, playing with Traktor in the Continental Hockey League. But he had that deal that He was signed. He was not going to be coming over because he was committed to the KHL. That has changed in the last week to 10 days, and it would seem like that's changed a lot of people's outlook as well. And as you can, again, Ross, as you can imagine, being at six, you know, who's going to fall to the Calgary Flames? And suddenly, maybe Nikushkin isn't quite as big a wild card as he was 3 weeks to a month ago.
No, I mean, there's always, everyone always looks at that and has that Russian factor, fear with the top Russian prospect, and especially with the KHL being able to offer so much money to young players to play. I don't think there's a lot of NHL clubs now that really aren't afraid of that Russian factor anymore. You actually see players that are playing in the KHL, they develop well, the top players there. So it's, you know, when you're drafting a guy at 18, there are teams that think, you know, it is nice that you can have an 18-year-old come and play for you the next year. But as long as they're somewhere where you know that they're going to develop and they're going to get to play at a high level of hockey, I don't think there's that fear anymore. So when you're drafting, especially Russian kids, I mean, you're looking at them to maybe come over and play when they're 20 years old. So, you know, if the difference is them playing in the Western Hockey League or playing in the Continental Hockey League, I mean, it's a pretty good option to have a kid developing at a pro level, as you mentioned with Barkov. So development-wise, I think there's a lot of teams that almost see that as an advantage now with a top kid. There are teams that know they can afford to draft a guy, wait 2 years, and let him, you know, work things out over on that side. They do like to be a little bit more hands-on, so there is that benefit of having kids come over and maybe play in the Western Hockey League or American Hockey League in the case that could be with Nikushkin. And, you know, he is a kid. He does have that talent level and that maturity and that experience already that he could fit in right away with an NHL club. So the fact that he did say that will turn a few more teams maybe in his direction. But I think when you have a top 10 pick like that, you don't worry about those things. You're just looking to try and get the best possible player in your system.
Obviously, we're fascinated at who could be hanging around at 6 and at 22, where the Calgary Flames pick. But in terms of guys that have risen rapidly, because you'll find, you know, in different rankings, you'll have a guy that's off the radar, then he grows to on the radar, then he's top 60. By the time ISS May comes out, he's top 30. Who is that guy for you guys this year, or are there a couple of them?
There's a couple of them. I think one guy that's really climbed all year long and continued to climb right up to the end of the last weekend was Bo Horvat from London. You know, as a kid, the skill set was obvious. We at the start of the year, we watched him and really felt, and even last year, we felt that he was, you know, a really good, strong, two-way player that was going to be a really nice end of the first-round pick. And then he just kept getting better and better. By the time the OHL playoffs started, he was an absolute beast, and he was outshining pretty much everyone else in the OHL. And then he hit the Memorial Cup, and he was London's best player at the Memorial Cup, hands down. So, you know, that pushed him top 10. And, you know, he's a kid that he just has an absolute ton to offer, a ridiculous amount of tools, a leader. So, and he's just got that passion for that game. And again, like we talked about with McKinnon, it seems that, you know, when there's that opportunity there to do something special to try and win the game for your team, he's always the guy that steps up. He's always the one that you notice the most and is the most dangerous player on the ice for his team. So I think he's definitely one of those guys. Another guy is Michael McCarron from the U.S. Under-18 program. Kind of off the radar all year. He's a big guy, so when you watch him, he's always stood out. But he climbed. He's a perfect example. He was outside of the rankings, and then he was top 60, and then he was top 30, and now we've finished him at 23, but he's a kid that could go. He's a kid that could go probably as early as 13, 14. So there's a few of those kids. You know, and even another one is Nick Patan all year. Mm-hmm. You look at him, smaller kid, easy to write off, but then he just keeps putting up points. And when you go watch him, the release on his shot is incredible. The way he skates around the ice is incredible. He has amazing vision. You know, and the knock is always going to be his size. But the way that he plays and the fact that he put up so many points this year is something that you couldn't ignore.
Chatting with Ross McLean, head scout for the International Scouting Services here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Let's talk pick number 6. And I guess for the purposes, I know that you guys have Darnell Nurse, the huge hulking defenseman out of Sault Ste. Marie, I know you have him at 6'3.5", but I've read anywhere upwards of 6'5". He needs to put some beef on, but he comes from a highly athletic family. His uncle is Donovan McNabb, former quarterback in the NFL. But let's talk centers, because it seems like there's a emphasis for the Flames to finally get one. And we'll assume that Barkov doesn't get to them at number six. That leaves Elias Lindholm, Sean Monahan, and we'll include Bo Horvat in that conversation as well. Lindholm, Swedish kid, kind of getting, it's scary when you start to compare, but maybe the best Swedish player, kind of like a Peter Forsberg, smallish Peter Forsberg. Monahan, big, strong, played on a terrible team in Ottawa, but still put up good points. And you just talked about Horvat. I mean, what are the... what's the upside and downside to each guy if the Flames legitimately have a spot at all three at the sixth location?
To me, the most probably the obvious fit for Calgary, the guy that I think fits best anyways, would be Monahan. I think Monahan is an Eric Staal kind of player. Every time I watch him, that's who I think I'm watching, is Eric Staal. I mean, he's a very good skater, excellent with the puck, very, very intelligent two-way player. He's the guy that goes out there and makes his teammates better, sees the ice extremely well, committed defensively. There's just a lot to like about his game. He's a very good scorer, puts up points. He can put up points with a bad team. I know in our draft that we have him compared to Mikko Koivu as well. So, I mean, this is a kind of player that really fits into a variety of teams, and to me he's one of the perfect guys to build around because he's so versatile, and if you're adding other pieces, he can really switch into different roles as you need him. But I think he's got a great pro career ahead of him, and he'd be an excellent pick and work very well.
And
in the situation Calgary's in right now.
Yeah, and it's got to be frustrating for him because he was a late cut for the World Junior team. He played on a bad team that didn't make the playoffs, and he had a little bit of time due to injury. Still put up 78 points, had the same numbers he did in a full season a year ago. But so many kids get that extra bump from either a long playoff run or Memorial Cup or World Juniors, and he was close to the World Juniors but didn't get it. I wonder if he'd have had a little bit of more spotlight on a world stage or even in the playoffs or Memorial Cup, where that ranking and where his stock would be.
Certainly, I mean, he falls into that category. He's got the late birthday, so he wasn't eligible for under 18s this year either, and that really hurts those guys. Those late birthdays that they're on bad teams, they don't make playoffs, or they're on teams and they get knocked out of the playoffs early, and they're not eligible to go get further exposure at under 18. And, you know, had Monahan been eligible for under 18s, he probably would have been the first-line center with Connor McDavid on the second line. So, you know, just speaking to the skill level of Sean Monahan, everyone knows how well Connor McDavid did at that tournament. Monahan would have been relied on more for offense. So it is always difficult with those guys because there really isn't any more options for them to go out and impress. Once their season's done, it's done. And for him, it was tough because even at World Junior Camp, he was coming off a suspension. He was injured before that. So he had... He's had a lot of adversity to get through, and this is one of those years where, you know, to really get a good read on him, you really had to do your homework. And I think there's a lot of teams that will. One of the benefits is that Ottawa is one of the best places to go scout junior hockey because you've got the Quebec League and the Ontario League right there on the doorstep with Gatineau just across the river. So I think there are a lot of teams that will have a lot of information on him, and he is a player that when you watch him and he's on, he's impossible not to like. So I think there's going to be a lot of teams that, you know, he's at 9 right now. He's a bit of a wild card. He might be the most underrated player in the draft already because this is a kid he was in that talk with the top guys. He was there before Drouin was, so he got leapfrogged a little bit, and, you know, for various reasons. It's always one of the interesting things about a kid in his draft year, so... it'll be very interesting to see what happens with him, but I think he's an absolute steal wherever he goes.
And I guess just really quickly before we let you go, it's a big draft for Calgary. Not only do the Flames have three first-round picks, but Calgary kids are front and center. You have three rated in the first round right now. That's Hunter Shinkaruk, Josh Morrissey, and Dylan Hetherington, and another one, Morgan Klimchuk, that flirted with that top 30 all year. Did any of these guys specifically make a big impression on you?
I can't get enough of Hunter Shinkaruk. Everyone knows I'm a big fan of Hunter Shinkaruk. I've gotten to know the kid as well, and that just makes me like him even more. He's an ultimate competitor, has more passion about the sport of hockey than anyone I've ever met, and I'm saying a lot since I've been around the world working in this sport. I think he's got intangibles that people don't see. He's a phenomenal player on the ice, fantastic offensive player, but it's those intangibles that are going to make him such an effective pro. Josh Morrissey, tremendous skater, very good vision with the puck. He's going to be a power play specialist for whatever team gets him. He's a guy that could be right on Calgary's radar at that 22. Dylan Hetherington's another one, another really good skater, versatile player. He's going to be a perfect complement to any team's number one defenseman. I think he's just that absolute perfect partner for whoever you have in your system. And then Klimchuk is probably one of the best pure goal scorers in the draft. The release on his shot is absolutely incredible. He's a great skater, and he showed off some really good versatility as well at under 18s, being able to kill penalties and block shots. And he's a great kid as well. So it's going to be a very, very good draft for the Calgary area, and it would be pretty special, I think, if Calgary could land one of those guys with the picks that they have and where these kids are projecting. They're going to be on the radar at those spots too. So it could be very exciting for Flames fans here in Calgary as well as the Calgary hockey community.
Tremendous stuff, Ross. Really appreciate it. I know we'll probably be doing this once more before the draft and then probably again once we're in New Jersey because we've really only just scratched the surface. Appreciate it as always. We'll be in touch. Thanks so much for your time.
I love doing it, so anytime you need me.
You bet. Sounds good, man. Ross McLean, head scout for the International Scouting Services.